Film Vault. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome to Film Vault. Thanks for joining us once again. This week, Anderson, what are we calling this? Top 5 long takes? Top 5 extended takes? What do we call them?
Take your pick, buddy. Whichever one.
Take your pick.
See what I did there? That was pretty amazing, huh? A long take.
I feel very muffled.
Settle down. Every week I got to deal with it. Did we not just do a mic check to appease your...
Extraordinarily muffled.
To appease your persnicketiness? Is that a word? Listen, we're doing long takes, extended takes. I can't believe we have not done that here on the Film Vault. I feel like we have.
No, we have not.
But apparently we haven't. Here's the problem with it. Mm-hmm. I love this one. I love it.
Really?
Extended takes, long takes. People call them, for whatever reason, they call them tracking shots or long shot. Long shots, I understand, but then that gets confusing because a long shot is actually a shot that's framed from far away.
Well, tracking implies that it's moving, when a lot of time, one of my lists, for example, is a static shot. There's no movement.
Here's the problem that I have with long shots.
No, that's why you can't call it tracking.
Here's the problem I have with long takes that we're doing this week, mm-hmm. is I burned... maybe my 1 and 2 last week.
Really?
When we did the top 5 shootouts. Because it turns out some of the best shootouts I've seen are, in fact, long takes. So mm-hmm. Hard Boiled and that end scene there with Children of Men will not be included on my top 5 list, really? Which is blasphemy. It's blasphemy, Brian.
I wonder if we'll have any crossover. I have a couple movies here. At least, a couple movies that you are a huge fan of.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being 100% genuine.
And they're on your list.
A couple of movies you love on my list.
Does not compute. It's not making sense.
I know. It all come together.
They're on your list, and I'm a huge fan.
You love Just Friends, right?
Why are they dancing? Hey, Just Friends is going to come up on this episode, I promise.
Yes!
When film students are studying this...
Just Friends? When they're studying Just Friends.
When they're studying this here podcast in the upcoming century... they're going to be upset. You know, the Hard Boiled is not included on this list. But then if they listen to the full episode, they'll understand. It's because chronologically I can't have it.
Sure.
Hard Boiled on there when it was just on there last week.
It's ridiculous.
Okay. So what we do here on the old Film Vault is we flick fast.
Oh, my God. We're jumping in this
That's
fast?
That's how we begin every episode. And I'm putting a new twist on the old flick fashion this week, Brian. Beginning now.
A twist fashion?
Well, it's not really twist fashion. There's a twist to the flick fashion.
You love to put a fashion on the end of everything.
You know what I like to do with flick fashion is the movies that I like the most, either I start with or I end with.
Okay.
Because I feel like whatever's in the middle kind of gets forgotten and lost. And I want to extend to the audience, to the listeners, like what a movie, what's worthy maybe of their attention, what they should maybe check out if they have never heard of these three. This here show, we rank things constantly. Why not rank the flick fashion?
Oh.
Starting this week, Brian, 3-1.
Okay. All bottom right. to top.
Bottom to top.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
I can't because I don't have my notes.
You just did that whole...
Where the hell are they?
You know what?
God,
you're learning a lot about this podcasting thing. I'm really proud of you. You teased it. You set up a good bit. You explained the bit. You were patient. And just when it came time to pay it off and give the listeners what they wanted, you choked. So Anderson's going to retrieve his notes. Logan looks very amused. And he's going to come back in here. I don't know if I want to rank my movies. There's definitely one good... one bad and one kind of meh, but haven't thought about ranking them. I will just give them to you in no... well, there'll be a particular order, but they will not be from worst to first, as it were. Where's Anderson?
He's coming back in. Yeah.
Okay, good. All my movies are semi-recent.
All right. Notes. Found my notes.
I like how I had to shake him to prove to the listeners that he had notes.
What's that now?
You're shaking the notes to prove that you had them.
Found them. Okay. Now
do you want me to go or do you want to go?
No, go ahead, Brad.
Okay. I have three movies.
You've been going this whole time.
No, I want you to hear what I have to say. Because it's that important. I have three movies. I'm not going to rank them in order, but I will say that one is good, one is bad, and one is meh, okay. First, the one that's meh, okay. A movie that you gave me the disc of, I don't know where it came from, but you gave me the disc of Safety Not Guaranteed. I don't know why you gave it to me. I feel like someone gave it to you.
A listener, Andrew C., gave me a 3-pack of movies.
What was in it?
And that was on there, Safety Not Guaranteed. I don't know why. Maybe he produced these films. I doubt it.
Oh, I thought but maybe he wanted you to see them.
He also gave me 2 others that I have not gotten around to watching. What's sad for Andrew C., listener Andrew C., he's also the guy that hooked me up with MoviePass, so God bless his soul. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've heard MoviePass too.
Good my greatest possession other than my wife is MoviePass.
Didn't you give him like the wrong name on an episode or something?
I call him Andrew W. Because there's a W at the end of Andrew, so it confuses me because I'm dyslexic. But he also gave me 2 other movies, and I feel bad because when those movies arrived, 2 of them were already up on Instant Watch. So
Oh, really?
That's a huge waste of money for him.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Safety Not Guaranteed? Did you flick
fest
it?
I did not flick fest it. I did not feel it was worthy of me flick fest.
I will flick fest it. It was an okay movie. It wasn't bad.
It was cute.
It was mine.
It's something that that kid over there would like. I could see the Logan.
Logan loved it. Yeah.
I did like it a lot.
Yeah.
Directed by Colin Trevorrow. Trevorrow. Stars hipster goddess Aubrey Plaza. It also stars Mark Duplass. Director, best known as director of Cyrus and Jeff Who Lives at Home, which I did not see. Did you see that?
I don't like to talk about that. Okay. I've been meaning to get to that goddamn movie for a while
and,
now.
And a guy named Jake Johnson. Logan, I'm going to turn to you because I want someone to explain to me the success.
I saw it.
The popularity. And no, I want someone to explain the success, popularity, and appeal of one Aubrey Plaza to me. Why is she a goddess to all of you hipsters?
I think it's a Parks and Recreation thing. If you're a huge fan of that show, you kind of know her personality and her character that she's created, that she's creating for herself.
I think they're drawn to the indifference and apathy that fuels that generation.
I'm not a big fan of hers, but I can see the appeal, I guess.
Don't get me wrong. I admire the way she courageously battled back from the accident that froze her face and left her unable to express emotion. I'm very...
Brian said something funny. That was actually genuinely funny, Brian. What happened?
I don't know. I had a brain tumor or something.
Who'd you steal that from?
I don't know.
Who said that?
No, that's all me. Mm-hmm. You know what it is, Anderson? I'm writing a lot these days, running a lot of jokes, running a lot of humor. And
you are.
Well, I'm trying to make the book funny. I'm trying to make parts of the book funny.
So you're copying and pasting things that
I didn't write this in Carolla the book. I'm in the moment. No, how dare you? He hasn't.
Is
seen
that
it.
What you mean?
I doubt very much writing? You know who Aubrey Plaza
is. No, I'm talking about how you're making funnies in the book.
Oh no!
Assuming that you're like on like Richard Pryor page, Wikipedia that's page.
That's exactly
copying
right.
Copying and pasting.
No, Googling Richard Pryor's best jokes.
Best material. Why are you so anti the white man in your book, Brian? You're always talking about the fucking whitey.
Anyhow, Aubrey Plaza. Emotionless and pretty marginal actress on screen. I'm not even sure she has teeth. I've never seen her smile.
Yeah, you have. She's grinned.
That's what I'm saying. She has everything to hide what I assume are dentures or there's a gums. In any event, Aubrey Plaza is the star of this film.
Are you done talking about this movie?
91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's bizarre. It is
91%.
You know what?
So Logan's clear not alone.
I could have signed off on it and said, you know what? Cute movie. The end completely lost me. The end was so over the top and brought about...
Actually, it's the only part that I liked.
...such large douche chills...
I like the end.
...on my neck that I could not sign off.
I think the end was my favorite part of the film.
Horrific.
Not great
movie. Horrific.
Mark Duplass, the guy who played the weirdo,
he
was my
him.
Favorite part of the film. I
like
him.
Him in person. I didn't like him in the movie. He annoyed me greatly.
I liked him. I think he's doing more acting.
Mm-hmm. He seemed like the type of person I would not like to spend time with in the movie. Okay.
This is actually just barely missed making my top five as an also-ran from our summer preview of last year. I was looking forward to seeing it based on the trailer. And a movie that just missed making my top five on our fall preview from last year. It was a very, very good movie that I saw this week, For a Good Time Call, .. For a Good Time Call, .. I won't say the .. anymore. Directed by Jamie Travis, this is the story of the two girls who are roommates. They start off as frenemies, enemy friends, and they form a sex call-in line, phone sex. They are phone sex operators out of their apartment in New York. I enjoyed this movie very much, starring Ari Grainer, Lauren Miller, she also co-wrote it, and a surprisingly tolerable Justin Long. I was very surprised at how much I was able to tolerate him in this movie. Some funny cameos. It's 85 minutes long, which is a perfect length for a film like this. Shockingly, and I really was shocked to find that Rotten Tomatoes. Do you see this, by the way?
No.
Rotten Tomatoes score 56%.
Mm-hmm.
Very surprised. Very enjoyable movie. Christy loved it. We watched it together.
It looks like a movie you would like.
I enjoyed it very much. Mm-hmm. You may have to watch it at some point, too.
No, I don't
think you
so.
May.
That would be cruel.
No, it would not. It's a good movie.
I'm looking at the poster art right now, and it looks like something I would not enjoy at all.
No, it's a fun movie. Mm-hmm. This is good. It's a good date movie, because date movies, in my opinion, are not dumb romantic comedies. They're movies that both boy and girl, or boy and boy, or whoever, mm-hmm. can enjoy equally. And Christy and I like this movie equally. We both really enjoyed it. This premiered at Sundance. And like I said,
last
just missed
Sundance,
making,
right?
It was last year.
Yeah.
I missed making my top five for fall preview. I finally saw it and enjoyed it very much. For a Good Time Call. That's my favorite movie of the week. My least favorite movie
Brian,
of the
Brian,
week.
Before we move on, I want you to lose your hang-ups and find your calling.
Well, buddy, they didn't write the tagline.
That's
the studio.
That's the tagline of this
studio.
Fucking movie you're going to jam down my throat sometime in the near future, and I don't appreciate that at all.
You're going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie.
Okay, go ahead. Flick Fest, your third and final.
My least favorite film I saw this week is out in theaters now. Listeners of the Adam Carolla Show will remember that I talked about this. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Ooh, it looks so funny.
You're wrong. Directed by Don Scardino, a veteran TV director, most notably of 30 Rock, Steve Carell, Steve Buscemi, Jim Carrey, Olivia Wilde, Alan Arkin, James Gandolfini, Brad Garrett, and Jay Moore round out the cast. This is a bad movie. It's 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. I actually kept a count because I was so bored in the movie. I was taking notes in the back row on my iPhone. 55 minutes, Anderson. 55 minutes before I laughed.
Wow.
It was.
Look at you now. Did you have your arms crossed and were you sneering at the screen?
No.
Going, go ahead. Make me laugh.
Actually, I kind of had some hope because between Jim Carrey and Steve Carell and all the other guys, there should have been some accidental laughs.
Do you think that if you smoked a little weed before going into the theater there, you would have?
I think it would have been worse. I think I would have been bored. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been excruciatingly
boring. You ever smoked that weed?
No.
Medicinal?
Not a weed guy.
For the weed? For the chemo? No.
You know what? I thought about it when I was nauseous for a little while, but that kind of came and went, and then I never really got
You're
sick.
You're like, my frat brothers would never understand. They'd never forgive me.
I doubt that very much. Many of my frat brothers smoke weed.
I don't know. They seem like Budweiser regular type guys to me.
Well, I love Budweiser.
It's like a split, you know?
I don't love Budweiser.
They drink beer or they smoke the weed, like
right.
In Platoon.
And they, each side judges each other.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely right. There are five total laughs in this movie for
five.
Me. I wrote them down. Jim Carrey, actually the best part of the film.
That is not a good sign.
Not a good sign. It's not saying much. Olivia Wilde plays a... She talks at one point about how she was I was a nerd in school and I loved magic and man I was an outcast and I loved magic so much. And it's like, if you know Olivia Wilde, this does not compute.
Oh, you can't, because she's good looking.
It's so fucking ridiculous. Right. And it's like, this is remember when Denise Richards was the nuclear physicist in the Bond movie? This is one of the most absurd casting choices.
What about when she was the pilot in that movie that we sniff tracked?
Oh, Starship Troopers?
Yeah, she was a pilot.
Yeah, but that was sort of the ethos of the film, was the good-looking sort of kids, you know.
Plastic face, right? Her entire face made of plastic. Has that been proven yet?
Oh, interesting.
It is. It doesn't age either.
There should be an expose on that.
Yeah.
I agree with you. This film, Anderson, an hour and 50 minutes.
Wow.
150.
What is that? Because there's a lot of character lead-up or there, too many people?
It's excruciating length of, why does this movie need to be
110
minutes?
Because there's a lot of characters. There's a lot of backstory, a lot
there
of exposition.
There are a lot of characters. There's a lot of backstory, but it doesn't really need it. Anyway, I can talk a little more about it.
No, I wish you wanted.
Ultimately, not a great film. Don't see it.
Okay.
And if you do, I warned you.
All right. So starting this week, 3-1, worst movie I saw. And you know what? A lot of the time, like this past week, I saw like 6 movies.
Yeah.
3 aren't even good enough to be mentioned at all. You know, see what I'm saying? This is the 3 best movies that I saw in the last week.
Okay.
And it pains me to begin with number 3, as in the worst of the 3 that I'm about to mention. Stoker. This is the Chan-Wook Park's first English language film.
No good?
He is the guy who made...
Old Boy.
Old Boy, of course, the Vengeance trilogy. He also did Night Fishing, which is a short that Brian loves a lot.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, Old Boy, and Lady Vengeance. These are all movies that I enjoyed a lot, especially the Old Boy. Stoker is all form, nothing really going on there. There's a fine line. You know, I see some great movies where there's no art at all, right?
Lots to look at, nothing to think
about.
And
then there's movies where it's all art. Mm. And I felt like, now maybe going in knowing that this is Chan-Wook Park's first English language film, maybe I was thinking about that as I was watching this and being bored, that he was almost insecure and trying to prove that he's really artsy. And there were some great transitions. It would have made like a great 3-minute music video. Some of the transitions that they use with CGI, where she's like a close up of like brushing her mother's hair, and it zooms in, and then the hair morphs in, seamlessly morphs into weeds blowing in the wind, and now they're outside. Really cool stuff, but just kind of a stupid story. It stars Mia Wasikowska, who we all know from numerous movies. You know Mia. She was in Kids Are All Right. That's where I first saw her. Her brother was
Laser.
Her brother.
Okay.
She was the daughter. She was also in, what's the name of that guy?
I don't know if I would know her from that. But well, is she in something else well-known?
Yeah, well, she's in the that big one that everyone saw except for you and I believe. Kids Are All Right is what she's known for. Lawless, she was in that. And Alice in Wonderland, she actually played Alice, Brian. Oh. So a lot of people would know her from that.
Of course.
I don't know why you say of course like that.
No one saw that movie.
Jane Eyre. What's it?
How Jane do you Eyre.
Say? Jane Eyre, yes. She was the only good thing about this movie. She was the only good thing that I really enjoyed. It involved her and her mother, Nicole Kidman, living in a house, and it opens up with the father being dead. He's not with them. We don't really know how he died at first, but his strange brother shows up almost immediately, and he is not fun to watch. Did not enjoy him.
Okay.
Ooh, didn't know that. All right. Harmony Korine is actually in this movie. So, number two, the second best movie I saw in the last week, I almost completely excluded from this here list, Flick Fashion. Okay. While watching it, I was so turned off and thinking, how the hell is this movie getting good reviews? How do people enjoy this? I thought I might find it somewhat entertaining. The wife really wanted to see it when it was theaters. I made the wise decision of saying no, but then threw her a bone and then sent away for it with the fuck flicks. So it showed up. And I realized, you know what? There's some things that need to be brought up here on this here show about this movie. And I know that a lot of our listeners might get suckered into watching this with their significant other as well.
God, I'm dying to know what it is.
Pitch Perfect.
Oh.
Little movie called Pitch Perfect. Came out last year. Jason Moore directed it. And Anna Kendrick stars in it. And who's that other kid?
Rebel Wilson.
Rebel Wilson's in it, as well as, what's his name? Adam Devine.
Adam Devine?
Adam Devine, who is in Workaholics. He's getting huger and huger by the day. I like that Adam Devine.
He was just on our show.
This is a good kid, right?
Yeah, I like
him a lot. I like that kid. Pitch Perfect. A very, very odd movie in the sense that it was all just, you know how they make these movies where it's just an excuse to like Baywatch, the entire TV show is just an excuse to have like hot chicks run around in bathing suits. Essentially, this movie is just an excuse to have people sing, right?
Okay.
And what do you call it when there's no instruments and you just sing?
Acapella.
Acapella. I knew you would know that. I knew it as well while I was watching this movie because it's all about acapella. It's all about acapella competition in college. Okay?
I kind of like that, though. At least they're singing
some very good singing.
It's meant to be sung.
It was not done Les Mis style where, you know, they were actually lip syncing this one. So you
it's the greatest musical of all time. Have you seen the commercials?
And watch them actually sing it out. But there were some good little numbers and whatnot. There's some good camera movements. What really threw me for a loop was, and I'm going to be spoiling the fuck out of this movie. I don't care because it's not a movie that's good. Okay.
Okay.
Unless you really love singing, you love Glee, you love all that, but it doesn't really matter because it's predictable as hell.
You hear that, fans? That's Anderson spoiling a movie.
What's that? Oh yeah, it's Pitch Perfect. All right, give me a break here. The main quartet or whatever, the main acapella singers, the women, they're going up against Adam Levine's group all the time. They're always losing the competition because they're boring and they're stale and they do the same goddamn songs. But Anna Kendrick's who's in it in the band, she's kind of forced to be in the singing group. Are you going to watch this? You have it at home, right? We talked about this earlier today.
Yeah, I'm planning on it.
I'm about to ruin it for you, but I want you to watch all this stuff.
I don't
want to
be ruined.
No, it's got to be ruined for you.
Why are you ruining it for me?
Listen, because it's worthy of talking about. She mixes beats. She's like a DJ, and she takes like different songs and mashes them together. Mm-hmm. That's her craft, and she's like dark, and she's got a lot of like eye makeup. She doesn't really belong with these goody two shoe acapella singers, but they get her to be in there because there's a long story. Like her dad makes a deal with her. Long story short, she gets in there and she's forced to do these boring songs with them, which will get them like placement, but they never win with them. Okay, she finally starts doing her own thing. They buy into it. Adam Devine's character is a real prick. You really want to beat him. You want to see these girls, even though you don't really like the girls, you want to see them beat, you know, they're the underdogs. You want to see him beat them. They do beat them. Okay. Adam Devine, though, before they actually go up against him, he gets some kind of Hollywood deal and disappears. So he's not part of the climactic scene where they're actually beating. It'd be like Karate Kid, the main blonde guy, getting some,
Johnny
getting some deal right before the final match and just not being a part of the entire climax. It makes no sense. Why would? And then here's what's even less, what makes less sense. Acapella, right? They come out and there's fat beats laid down, all these instruments and a second track playing while they're doing acapella. It would be like, let's go back to Karate Kid. It'd be like Karate Kid coming out with a fucking like giant samurai sword and just chopping Johnny in half. Except Johnny's not there. Except Johnny's not there anymore. It made no sense. And they destroy the competition, but it's not a cappella.
Okay.
It's so fucking odd. And much
I can't
like
wait to see it.
Much like with a Fat Friends movie that you made me watch. What's
Just
it called?
Friends.
Just Friends. That dancing scene that's kind of become iconoclastic on this here show.
Yep.
I felt that feeling, not as extreme, but I felt that throughout the movie. There's many things that were going on. It's like, wow, was that supposed to be funny right now? Ooh, what was that? Why is that so unnatural? What are they doing? Even Rebel Wilson, who I like, some of her stuff was just like, you know, they let her go. They let her do her thing, and they're like, oh, that's hilarious. But it didn't really.
We should do a sniff tracks to Just Friends.
To Pitch Perfect, maybe. It makes no sense. Number one movie that I saw last week was Assigned to Me. Movie I was sure I was going to dislike.
Yeah.
I banned it for the last 6 years. It's 7 years now. Little movie called Smoking Aces.
Yeah.
Pleasantly surprised.
You saw it with an open mind.
Joe Carnahan made this. I had no idea that Joe Carnahan, director of Narc, had a sense of humor. Obviously, he did with this one. It was very funny. I love the setup. Actually, I took some notes here. I was prepared. I kept waiting for it to fall off the rails and become something I hated. Never happened.
I'm glad you like this. Next up is Shoot 'Em Up.
Great setup with all the hitmen. The story is, for those of you who may not know, what's his name?
Piven.
God, I'm terrible with names. Piven is like, he's a wanted man. He's a magician. God, it's painful being me. He's a magician. Long story short, he's like wanted by not only the all mafia and all hitmen, but also the FBI. So It's one of those standard stories where everyone wants a piece of this guy. He's hiding in Tahoe at the top of a penthouse.
His name is like Johnny Aces or something.
And the
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, some shit.
And I think it might be Johnny Aces. And the setup is all these, mainly about the hitmen, all these different hitmen that are going after him. And Buddy Israel is his name.
Oh, it?
But
oh,
his Buddy out. Aces is his, they're pretty close.
Okay.
And the hitmen are actually quite delightful and quite funny. Some of them are exceptionally over the top. Like
they're all over the top, aren't they?
Yeah, but like the Germans in particular, the nihilists, who are obviously just from straight out of the Big Lebowski.
Right.
Jason Bateman has a small part in this. I'm a huge Jason Bateman
fan.
Totally
forgot about that.
Arrested Development, maybe my favorite program of all time, Brian.
Right.
That says a lot, but I mean, it's up there. Love Jason Bateman, and this, I think, is the best role I've ever seen him.
Wow.
Completely strung out on blow and drinks, and he is fucking on. He was so great. Laughing out loud, stifling the laughter, because watching it like 4 in the morning at my house. Can't wait.
There's a lot of stars in this movie, too. It's a big, big cast. It's almost everyone's making a cameo.
A convoluted and superfluous and unnecessary ending almost kind of ruined it for me. Like, they tried to do a little bit too much there at the end, much like Seven Psychopaths. But all that being said, just a fun movie. It felt like it went out and did exactly what it was supposed to do. I was delighted to see that Affleck didn't make it through. And
he's in the movie for like 5 minutes.
Just a really fun movie and some really great shots and scenes and daring stuff. I love the big 50 caliber gun that the lesbian
is
chick
firing across the city.
It's just really impressive and funny. And the little, just the random throw-ins that they normally would say, you know what, it's not going to work. Like, one guy gets his fingers blown off and he crawls his way to some random, like, trailer home. And this older woman lets him in and she's got this horrible ADD-riddled kid. Remember that kid who was constantly doing kung fu stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Kid was fucking awesome. He was hilarious.
I just remember the movie moving along, like, so headstrong, like, with a head full of steam, like, we're not stopping for anybody. Just everyone on this train, just piling everything on.
So it hit the spot. I was so ready to dislike this movie and think that it was too much or did it the wrong way, and it hit the spot. It was perfect for what it was supposed to be. Loved Smoking Aces.
Oh, good.
Brian, well done.
Cheers,
thank you very much.
Yeah,
I know usually when you assign me movies, you think I'm going to like them. About 60% of the 70% of the time, you're dead wrong.
Oh, you think you like only 30% of the films I assign you?
About.
Wow.
Yeah, some of them I absolutely.
We should how we not have a list of films we've assigned each other? I'd like to know how many good movies I've assigned you versus how many good movies you assigned me.
Sure.
We really don't.
The listener was keeping track, remember, of that red light, green light stuff. Dredge that up. That's interesting stuff. Maybe next week we'll do that.
Yeah, some listener kept track of all the movies we've red-lit and green-lit and gave us, like, box office breakdowns. Really interesting stuff.
I was afraid Smoking Aces was going to be too much like Tarantino. I think it's a movie that...
Nothing like Tarantino.
It's a movie that wouldn't be made if Pulp Fiction... Pulp Fiction changed the landscape of movies back in the early and mid-90s. This is a movie that I don't know if it would have been made without Tarantino's... popularity, but it didn't reek of... It was more Guy Ritchie than Tarantino.
Yeah, it was like someone doing a parody of Michael Bay, almost.
It was almost like a parody. It was like a satire of the over-the-top movies.
It was, and I liked it. I laughed a lot during this movie.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable.
Yeah, Smoking Aces, best movie he saw. Best movie I saw was For a Good Time Call. Very different movies! Coming up next. Top 5 Long Takes. I'm afraid it's that time of year.
What?
How are your taxes coming?
Whoa,
don't mention it. It is that time of year. Someone actually clicked through our Amazon link and got TurboTax Deluxe Federal E-File 2012 Edition. So someone's working on their taxes, and yeah, if you want to get that software, any kind of software, go ahead and click through. Our Amazon banner is time once a week to talk about the run down the list of interesting, notable purchases made through our Amazon banner on AndersonandBrian.com. We appreciate
really little more interesting than tax software.
I guess it's more notable than interesting. Notable because it's that time of year. It's apropos to that time of year, relative to.
Apropos.
There you go. Someone got some storage boxes for the comic books. They're specifically made for comic books, I guess. Comic book storage boxes. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize they made such things.
Why? What, did you not notice that in every comic book? Anything?
I thought
they
were just like regular old boxes. I know
the little handles on the sides, and the fat man wanders around with them.
They come with the fat man to wander around?
No, Kevin Smith.
Okay.
I watched that show, by the way. Terrible show.
Someone got... Oh, the... What,
Real Comic Book Man or whatever?
Man or some shit?
Oh, awful.
I don't know what that is. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Sorry if you're listening to this and you're from that show, you're on that show.
What a Kevin Smith listener.
I like the people on it. I just don't like the execution.
Someone got a cleaning kit for their 12-gauge shotgun.
Oh, shit.
Hopefully not the same guy. Someone got... two people got advanced copies of Gears of War Judgment. That's a new
game video
that's
game.
Coming out. It's a new game. Popular game that's coming out. Someone got something called... Well, you learn something new every week. Tattoo goo. I didn't know there was such a thing called tattoo goo.
You put it on your new tat, right?
I guess you do. Someone got...
You had to get a tattoo right now. What would it be? Howard the Duck?
Probably my wife's name.
Oh, my God. Move forward.
Someone got a 40-count of Trojan condoms. Someone got a 48-count... Ooh, don't be a one-upper. Of Lifestyles condoms. Someone got... I don't know what this is. It's a cream called My Sweet Partner. I don't know what that means or what that is, but someone got it. A Roku. Someone got a Roku to watch their streaming movies. A Samsung Samsung Galaxy. What is this here? Oh, yeah, Panasonic digital camera. Mm-hmm. And by the way, big thanks to the guy or gal who got the Nikon digital camera.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big
item. I just said, wow, they have like $50 ones and they have $3,000 ones.
This is towards the higher end. So thanks to you. Kindle Fire was purchased. A Cuban cigar cutter was purchased.
Oh, illegal.
A Remington rechargeable body grooming kit was purchased through our link, as was a crock pot. Someone's going to cook some crock.
You almost hit the note. I know you don't listen to songs. It's too horribly distracting to you. I got sweet tunes in my ears right now, as do the listeners.
Oh, yeah?
And you almost finished your little list there right as the end.
I almost hit the post.
Almost hit the post, Brad.
Cut something out.
It's movie time. Somebody bought Dark Knight Rises Steelbook. This is actually a book of steel.
What?
Seems like it should be for Superman. That's just me. Somebody bought the Frighteners. Holy shit. Smart move. Fantastic.
Peter Jackson Presents.
I love that. Frighteners. The Usual Suspects. Ryan, don't spoil it.
I won't.
X2. X-Men United. Actually, you know what? X2,
he's been dead the whole time.
X2. Very good. That's the wrong movie. Different movie. Apollo 13. Great movie. I'm not going to say babies. Bull Durham.
Babies
smart.
Is great.
Children of Men has been getting so much love recently on this here program.
Children of Film Vault.
District 9. Brian and I went on a date and saw that movie.
We did.
Fool's Gold. Widescreen edition. Frailty. Harold and Maude. Life of Pi. Fucked. Yes. I need to own Life of Pi. That's a movie that I need to own and just have on every time I'm feeling blue.
It's only $15 standing in the way of you and that.
Overnight. Pirates of the Silicon Valley. Smart, smart, smart. Pulp Fiction, of course. It's a plus. Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Why would you mark that for me to read, Brian? Why would you do that to me? Why did I just read that out loud? I take that one back. Life of Pi HD. I already said that one. I beat you to it. Looper and Argo Fuck Yourself. If you've seen the movie, you get the reference. Argo Fuck Yourself.
Thanks, you guys,
lots
for clicking through, buying movies, buying all sorts of shit. We appreciate it. AndersonandBrian.com.
We really do appreciate it. Sincerely, thank you for fueling this here program. Without you guys, I think that Logan quits, and I know Brian's not far behind him, and then you're just left with me.
Oh, boy. Shame the devil.
What?
What?
Your grandma say that?
Back to the show. Hi, I'm Orson Welles. You're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Yeah. Welcome back. Thanks, all of you, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. And thanks also to Greater Pacific. Greater Pacific, they're our feature artist of the week. They're from SoCal. Anderson, SoCal, Southern California.
Is that what that means? Thanks.
Anderson, our buddy who works across the hall on his Twitter profile, is under location, says, SoCali!
Who's our buddy that works across the hall?
Our buddy works across the hall.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
SoCali. SoCali is where you're from. debut album for Greater Pacific called Incandescent. And check them out, facebook.com/GreaterPacific.
Greater Pacific, that reminds me of Pacific Rim, which I cannot wait for.
Very excited. You want to see that together? You said you wanted to months ago.
Asian porn.
I will not see that with you.
Pacific Rim.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
No, we're not going to see that together.
What?
I want it to be fun, but we are going to see it. When are we doing top five most anticipated summer? That's going to be coming soon, right? It's time.
We'll do that sometime in April, right? Because we're counting movies from May and beyond.
Okay. And summer's getting earlier now for the movies. I think like there's a Marvel movie or something coming out at the end of April. So
Iron
we
Man
may
3?
Have to do it like a week or two earlier.
You know what? This is
it might be Iron Man 3, like end of April.
Can't believe I'm saying this, but we need summer to come even quicker because, I mean, there is absolutely nothing out there right now.
It is a wasteland.
I am looking hard to uncover. No, I'm going to see that this Friday, though. Harmony Korine's new
only
movie,
thing
Spring Breakers. It's
going to
be awful. It's going to be terrible.
Score on Rotten Tomatoes.
I listened to a very successful afternoon drive, not even that, a little later than that, Tim Conway Jr. show.
Sure.
I listened to it on KFI out here, for those of you who don't know, Los Angeles, number one AM station. Number one station, actually, is KFI, and they have a, it's almost like a variety show. It's just like whatever they want to talk about. They talk about news and whatnot on the Tim Conway Jr. show. Hopped in the car the other night, popped on the radio, and all I hear is Tim Conway Jr. That's the son of Tim Conway, for those of you who may not follow.
Dorf.
Tim Conway Jr. going on and on about trash humpers. And I'm like, what is
no
the
way,
world
really?
Coming to? Because they have total freedom. They do whatever the fuck they want. And he's going on and on about, this guy, all he did was, he directed Trash Humpers. Trash Humpers was his first movie, and now he's doing Spring Breakers? Kind of a generation. And I'm like, I was laughing my balls off that they're talking about Trash Humpers, of all things.
On
and
AM
just,
radio.
Just how far off he was. He had no idea what Harmony Korine was or anything. And then they're listening to the sound bites from Harmony Korine talking about how he took 7 days to write... Right, Spring Breakers. And then they're listening to all the little actresses talking about, you know, we just trust in Harmony. We just trust Harmony, you know, to do whatever he has us do. And it really does sound awful.
Outside of Spring Breakers,
everything about
it
sounds terrible.
Reviews, there's nothing good in theaters, and I've actually been seeing movies for this new Kroll show bit that I'm doing, and there are bad movies out there.
And I'm trying. I'm looking. This time last year, I already had three movies
that
I highly recommended.
Southern Wild was already out, wasn't it?
Not yet, but I had Chronicles already.
Yeah,
I had Raid Redemption as well as
Cabin
in the Woods. All three of those had been seen by me and loved by me.
Either three of those would have been right now at this time of year, released, if they were released now, would have been the best film of the
There's
year.
There's nothing so shot. Far, but you know what? It's early. It's early.
It's early. We're a fourth quarter team.
But I'm scouring, guys. I'm going to see movies like in the shitty little theater, the little art house theaters. I'm hanging out with douchebags, old people.
Me too.
I'm looking. I'm scouring, looking for good stuff. Actually, you know what? The best movie I saw last week, I didn't even flick fast.
Aw, buddy.
Next week.
You twist the knife.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Dick Cheney next week.
Okay, can do.
Hey, if any of you have Showtime, look for that The World According to Dick Cheney. Throw that on your box.
Thank you for reminding me.
We'll both flick fast next week.
If any of you are DirecTV subscribers or if you get a channel called, there's a UK channel called Cinemoi. Cinemoi, like as in French, but it's Cinemoi.
Oh, I know the channel.
Yeah, Cinemoi. It's on DirecTV, and it's also, I'm sure, on other providers. But they are running this month a couple times a documentary I made you watch, which is the Live Forever Britpop documentary. And if you're so inclined, you can do a little search for it and record it and see the movie that I love very much, Matt Anderson watch.
Just a little tip for the listeners there. Mm-hmm. I saw that, I don't know, probably 4 or 6 months ago, and very little recollection, so I would not waste my time.
You liked Noel, and you thought everyone else was a bunch of assholes.
I wouldn't. Yeah, it was okay. I wouldn't waste my time.
Okay.
Watch that Dick Cheney thing.
Yeah, number five. You want to do it first, or should I?
Hit it up, buddy.
Number five. A movie that Anderson loves. So I didn't actually take that many notes on it. But the good thing about... before we start the actual number five. I had a hard time with this list. I wasn't jazzed about it, but I know you were.
It's a great
list. I'm game, and I'm dutifully doing the list, but I wasn't inspired. That said, I'll run down my top five. But
do you become inspired by the end? Is it going to have a happy ending here, or just you're coming at us with I did this list and was not enthralled, did not enjoy.
The one thing I like about doing lists like this when they're about scenes is you can track them down on YouTube, and if you're like, oh, I think that was a good scene, and maybe if you look at it on Hulu or YouTube or something, you're like, oh, that was a great scene, or it's not quite as good as I remember it. Mm-hmm. My point is, the silver lining for me was I was able to go back and watch some cool scenes,
No, I was going to say, I spent hours watching these goddamn long takes, and sometimes I would like them so much, instead of moving on to the next one, I would just watch it all over again.
All over again.
Some of these I watched like four or five times and picked up on little things.
Some of these are really long.
They're fucking so daring and ballsy. It's my favorite thing in cinema, I think.
And I also noticed long takes are seems like the most parodied. You know what I mean? Like the most given homage to, the most iconic, the most the ones that people remember the most. Seems like the ones that stick with you the most daring, like you said. I think I'm sort of I'm agreeing with what you said.
It takes a lot of skill and know-how and balls to actually try and pull it off.
Right. Mm-hmm. My number five, a great scene from a great movie that you love. It was parodied, or not even parodied, sorry, there's an homage in Trainspotting to the opening scene from A Clockwork Orange.
Never heard of it.
Clockwork Orange.
Really? We're going to Clockwork Orange.
Well, have you heard of it? It's a film
by
Stanley Kubrick.
It's easy. It's effective, but I mean, there's not a lot of moving parts there.
No, there's not at all. But it's total. That's what makes it effective.
I believe he takes a drink and blinks once.
It's a static shot where, but that's a tracking shot because Kubrick's tracking pulling back.
He's pulling back.
Pulling back.
Very slow.
But it's the opening. It's the opening scene. It's you meet Alex and his. You don't really meet them, but you meet Alex. His voiceover introduces you to his droogs, his friends, and they're in a milk bar.
The milk bar.
They're in a futuristic, I assume, milk bar where they're all dressed in white. There's writing on the walls and funky letters.
Malaco
and there's
Plus.
They're tracking backwards on the camera in a very narrow private room there in the milk bar, and you meet Alex and it's kind of you get that iconic Kubrick shot of the iconic, what is that? Oh, that's a girl who's is that like a seat?
That's from the milk bar. I'm showing Brian actual pictures from the set.
Oh yeah, there were like people in there and there were also like mannequins.
Yes, that's where they get the milk out of the nipple. It's a very effective scene. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I'm impressed by anything Kubrick does because I worship at his altar, as many of you know, and it works for the opening scene of this movie. But I wouldn't say that it took a lot of time. You know what I mean? Or a lot of balls. It's like
I agree. I mean, I don't know.
If one of them starts laughing, or if the camera has a little jitter there because the operator drank a little too much coffee. It's like they just. Set it back up and do it again.
Well, it wasn't my criteria for selecting. My criteria was it was iconic. It looked great.
It is iconic.
I loved it. And it has that iconic shot of, Malcolm McDowell looking up over his, his furrowed brow. Like that's an iconic Kubrick shot you see in all of his films.
He showed up on that show Community a couple days ago.
Yeah?
A couple weeks ago. Yeah. He was a history professor. That show's ridiculous, but very good.
Good stuff.
He's a history professor. They all failed their exam. What does he do? He looks for the seven students. He just wanders the halls looking for them, saying, "You didn't show up to the test. You fail." It's like, what kind of a professor does that?
I never heard of this.
Malcolm McDowell does. All right. Good choice, Brian. Anything by old Kubi is good on my
Stan
list.
Stan Ku.
It is. I saw it on many lists, and I did watch that one a couple times. Because, it never even occurred to me. I'm like, you know what? That is a good long shot, long take. But, okay, number five for me, this is going down Hipster Road, Brian.
Ooh.
This is a movie that I did not enjoy.
Pulling up to Hipster Court.
In fact, a hipster maybe 15 years ago had me watch this because she was going on and on about how great it was, how beautiful it is, and how this makes her want to make movies. I love you if you're listening.
That would have been about
if you're listening,
98.
And you know who you are. I love you. You know that I'm sorry. I beat up on this girl too often.
Wow.
She's a film student friend of mine. Anyways, the name of this movie is I Am Cuba.
I Am Cuba.
I Am Cuba. 1964. This is the Paul Thomas Anderson is famous for doing lots of long takes.
Yeah,
lots of them. His Boogie Nights pool scene is a direct homage to this scene that I'm talking about in
really?
I Am Cuba. Now, I Am Cuba has many, many long takes. The end scene as well is very, very long, where the camera just seamlessly floats up the sides of buildings. Now, it was forgotten until filmmakers rediscovered it in the United States 30 years after it was made in 1964, it was panned and not really appreciated by the Soviet government at the time that gave this guy full rights, Mikhail Kolotsov.
Okay.
Kolotsov. I've not seen any of his other movies. I've seen this one. It meanders. It's dry. It really paints, I guess, a realistic picture of high society, if there is such a thing, Cuba at the time, in 1964. A lot of dance parties, a lot of things going on. But they wanted
Cuba
to be,
pre-Castro was like a cool like vacation
it
spot.
Was with Castro, though. And this is the Soviet. This is once the Soviets allowed, and they wanted him to make
That's
more
right,
of a propaganda film, I think. But what's really interesting about
it... The point still remains in the 50s.
What's interesting about it is the film was shot black and white, sometimes using an infrared film, which they got from the Soviet military. the filmmakers did, and it makes the sky really interesting. It makes the sugarcane look extra white. It makes the sky look dark, even though it's sunny and the clouds are all really white. And the scene, opening scene of the movie, and you can see this on YouTube, all black and white. It's like a pool party, party atmosphere on the top of this hotel, and then the camera. And if you know, a casual viewer probably won't even notice, but the camera goes off the edge of the very slowly off the edge of this pool party on the roof party down into the pool area, goes by a couple tables, and then ultimately goes into the pool where, like, in 1964, unfucking believable.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Unbelievable. And they did all these modifications to the lens so that there wouldn't be water dripping off of it when it came back up. But very daring, very interesting. And I start with that one because filmmakers, Scorsese in particular, loves this movie and inspired a lot of people, such as PTA, to go on and do a similar long takes later in their career.
There's a little bit of film history for you.
So I Am Cuba, I can't recommend this movie as a whole. There are people out there that absolutely love this thing. The Soviets were not among them. It was panned when it came out.
Really?
Panned and then forgotten about until the United States filmmakers actually rediscovered it some 30 years later.
Stumbled across it.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. And then I was forced to watch it a few years after that.
Number four for me. Mm-hmm. Not a tracking shot. In fact, it's a static shot. The camera never moves.
Ooh, another static.
The camera never moved.
The last one was close to static. The camera was locked down on tracks.
Yes, and it backed away.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call that?
Trucking.
Trucking?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yes, this is a static shot of Butch and Marcellus in Pulp Fiction. When Marcellus is, the camera's trained on Bruce Willis the entire time as Ving Rhames is convincing him to throw a boxing match. Remember, like, it's early in the film, well, semi-early. It's in a red room. And I watched it again. I've seen that scene so many times, and it's an iconic scene. It's Bruce Willis just, the camera's trained on him. He's not even saying anything. He's just sitting silently as Marcellus Wallace, Ving Rhames, is giving him the pitch. He's basically saying, listen, you're getting old. You need the money. You're going to throw this fight for me. And it's funny because I never really realized till today, you know, you learn something new every time you watch it, I guess. Not this scene, but the movie. It's sort of, you know, there's an old school slow makeout jam playing, Al Green, Let's Stay Together. They're in a red room, a red velvet room, and Marcellus sort of talking to him all sort of seductively. He's seducing him, basically. This is basically him sort of sweet talking, giving some pillow talk and trying to seduce him.
It's probably the same way he talks to his bitches when he wants to get inside there.
Maybe it is.
But he's getting inside of Bruce Willis's mind.
I never, in a way, he kind of is. I never thought about it that way, and I thought about that today. You never actually see Marcellus. You only hear him. And it's a great scene. I enjoyed it very much.
Bruce Willis coming up later on this episode.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. My favorite shot is from the new
Die Hard movie. Oh, I was going to say, Die Hard 5 had a great tracking shot.
It's an incredible long take. No,
wow.
Joking. But Bruce Willis will come up.
Okay.
Just for the record, I was joking just there.
That was number four for me.
Hilarious joke. Number four for me, Brian. I told you last week I burned two amazing long takes that would have extended takes that would have made it to my list for sure this week.
If only.
Included Hard Boiled, John Woo's Hard Boiled, Brian, as well as Children of Men. That last scene might be one of the greatest things I've ever seen in movie history.
In fact, I think when you type in like extended scene or long take or whatever into YouTube, I believe Children of Men comes up early and often.
Alfonso Cuarón. Unfortunately burned them, so I'm not going to put them, like I said. However, my number four, 2006 movie, directed by Alfonso Cuarón, Brian.
What?
Children of Men.
Oh, wow. Another long take.
But it's a different take, Brian.
Which one?
It's the one that's so beautiful and so sad and so scary and so nerve-fuck-wracking. It's where they're in the car, and Clive Owen and Julianne Moore are sharing a moment, and they have a ping pong ball that they're blowing back and forth into one another's mouth, doing a little trick, Blue Man's Group style. I know that ball is incredibly CGI fake.
Sure.
It looks incredibly fake. Because if they blow that scene, if they can't catch the ball in their mouth, they got to start all over, even though it's at the top of the scene. So they're driving, and then they're kissing, and it's sweet, and they're in the car with the others that are trying to get away. And all one take, in the distance, they see this car on flames coming down this mountain. And they're like, oh, shit, and we can make it. And then they throw the car in reverse, and then motorcycles come at them, and a whole pack of fucking Neanderthals come out of the woods, start chasing them. And there's a motorcycle
totally
that flips that also looks very CGI. I've read various sources that claim it's all one take. I think I found at least one fake cut or one, you know, cheap.
Sure.
Where the windshield gets taken out with flames. And I think they easily could have cut out of that. I also read some sources that said it was shot in four separate locations, which I think is completely not realistic.
False.
I think it was all shot in one location. They might be, have one cut. There are CGI elements in there. Doesn't take away from the reality and the feelings that you get watching this fucking scene unfold.
Again?
You do. And watching it, and just last week, all the study research that I did on it and clips that I watched, and then I apologized last week to the film. I felt like a bit of an ass for talking badly about this movie. It's the Michael Caine elements that I did not, that didn't really hit home with me. But
I remember not liking those scenes.
The movie as a whole, just
the hermit who lived in the with his.
I did
wife
not appreciate
and
him and all this pull my finger stuff, and he's supposed to just be this wise old uncle type character. He's
a hermit.
He bugged, but he was always like jovial despite the, you know, the horrific times they're living in. But Alfonso Cuarón, he has not really made anything since. He's got one coming out later this year called Gravity, which I look forward to. It's about space, Brian.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
About space shuttle. But that scene, without giving anything away, it is heartbreaking, and it goes from 0 to 60 very fast, and it's got the full a full 180 of emotions, because it starts off very peaceful and loving, and by the end, it is devastating. And it's just really, really well done. Whether they faked a CGI thing here or there, really good.
I'll have to see this movie again.
Nail-biting good. Nail-biting. Like, edgy, like literally edgy your seat. Like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? Get the fuck out of there! Which is hard to do nowadays.
It's funny because I only remember a handful of things from this movie, but the things I remember, really well.
I think there might have been some issues with some of the characters. I don't remember really caring about anyone that much. I need to go back and watch this again. I've seen it twice, and I've seen parts of it now like numerous times, but it just really is a feat in the whole entire, as far as filmmaking goes, Brian, it's a fucking feat.
Yeah.
Alfonso Cuarón, huge fan I am.
Number three for me. Oh, it's an iconic scene. It's been homaged, paid tribute to in movies like Swingers, and it's the first movie I thought of when I thought of this list, and I couldn't leave it off. The Copacabana entrance scene from Goodfellas. Choreographed, it's elegant, it's beautiful, it is almost choreographed, it's almost like a dance scene. The characters move so seamlessly and so perfectly around each other as Ray Liotta and, oh fucking, what's her name, Karen
Baca.
Karen or Lorraine, yeah,
Baca.
Yes, thank you, Baca. I should have written it down. I didn't write it down.
I don't do names, Brian.
Henry Hill and
Karen.
Henry Hill and Karen enter the Copacabana nightclub to the set to the song of Then He Kissed Me by the Crystals. Iconic use of the song. But by the way, if you were a child of the 80s like myself, you associate that song as much with this movie as you do with Adventures Babysitting. I know it's sad to say.
I don't admit that.
When you saw that movie 9 years old like I did,
I
it sticks in your mind.
It's the same thing that happens with me with Stripes and Patton.
There you go.
Except a different song.
But still.
Lorraine Bracco? What's her name?
Lorraine, I forget.
Come on, Brian.
Sounds about right.
Something like that. Yeah. Lorraine. We're going to go with Lorraine Bracco.
The song is 2.5 minutes long, 2:35 to be exact. The scene is perfectly synced with the length of the song. So when it ends, they've completed their journey, and they're sitting at the table right there in front of the thing, watching Henny Youngman, king of the one-liners, Henny Youngman. It's great because you and Karen, obviously, learned so much about Henry Hill in those 2.5 minutes. He's tipping everyone, giving $20 bills out to everybody. He's moving about with impunity. He's walking around all the...
And you got her POV, and you're being seduced right along.
He's holding your hand as he leads you through the back room of the Copa. He's like, I'm going to skip the line. The line will like wait in that line. I'm going to leave my car here with the guy. The best is the host has an aside. Remember when he's like, Henry, good to see you. Let's get him a table right in front.
And they actually pull a table
out. They pull the actual table out. And then off to the side, you hear someone saying like, hey, what about our table? It's like, go get your table. Have another drink.
The people behind them are all pissed.
Yeah, it's like the guy's been waiting there forever. He's like, hey, what about our table?
Hey, look at that. Lorraine Bracco is their name.
Hey, Lorraine Bracco.
Chalk one up for the kid there, Logan. I actually pulled the name that Brian didn't have.
Good job.
I think I was off by a few syllables.
I was off.
Mm-hmm. I love this scene. I do. I didn't make my top five. It's down as an also-ran, Brian. This movie's top three all time for me. I've seen it. I said it numerous times, like 13 times in the theater, I believe. It just doesn't hold up to some of these other ones that I have on the list.
Wow.
It's good, but it's like I kind of held it to
this is the long take.
It is the long take, and I saw it as number one on a number of lists when I was going through, but it was like one of those things where, you know, they'd be pissed. The crew would be like, ah, shit, we got to start over if somebody flubbed their line or something, but it wouldn't be devastating.
Right.
And that's kind of what I was going with.
It's a little bit of loose at the seams.
Number three for me, Brian.
Wires exposed.
Is right about what I'm talking about right now. If Ray Liotta fucked up his line or
Lorraine Bracco.
Lorraine Bracco. I already forgot her name. That's my brain. That's how it works. If Lorraine Bracco just started laughing about something,
right.
If it didn't work, they go back to the beginning. No hard feelings. Not the case, Brian, with a little movie called The Protector. Looking over at Logan, because Logan last week said, right after we came up with this topic, Logan's like, oh, I'd have to think of The Protector.
And I've not seen The Protector.
The Protector, look, that one of those horrible martial art movies with Quentin Tarantino's name at the top. What are you talking about?
He's like, Chris Tarantino Presents.
Exactly. One of those. He goes, yeah, The Protector. It's got this great scene in it. And it's a, you'd like it. It's about him. He's going after Tony Jaa is going after elephants, and his elephant has been captured, and he has to go to Australia to get his elephant back from these evil people.
Has there ever been a good scenario where some famous director presents something?
It's always terrible.
It's always terrible.
It's exploitation of the audience's stupidity.
It is,
and it's upsetting.
I remember saying you don't have to watch this whole movie, just the scene.
Well, that's not possible. First of all, I watch the scene, and I'm like, holy shit, that's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Logie's onto something here. There's no way I can have it on my list if I have not seen the movie. So I immediately sent away for it and watched it. And God damn, it's not a good movie.
Wow.
It's a really bad movie.
As a matter of fact.
It was painful to watch. Here's the thing with Kung Fu movies. So light on the story and the characters, and so heavy on the bone breaking and the karate chop after karate chop. Now,
I think they choreograph these like great scenes, and then they try and write a story to link the scenes together.
I'm going
to
go on a limb here.
Am I missing something because I'm not a Muay Thai master and I don't take Muay Thai classes on the weekend? It seems I understand there's plenty of different moves going on. Same with like Raid Redemption, the second half. But after a while, it's like if you're a giant fan of tennis, it's just and they're not playing. It's like playing against the wall. It's just
you will have to see an ace every once in a while.
It's just one karate chop after another kick after this bone breaks, and it just goes on. And I get it. The guy's going to kick everyone's ass in the room. It's like porn. It's like, and after they start banging, it's like, all right, do something different now.
Right.
It's the same.
I agree.
You know what I'm talking about?
Is this the movie? I'm going to go. I saw a scene, and it was amazing, and I'm wondering if this is the same movie. It's a guy who's basically, like, he's in a mall or something. He's going up and around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
the one.
This is it.
This is it.
Yeah, he's kicking. He's guys are coming out everywhere, and he's kicking ass. He's up and around a mall or something?
Not a mall. It's the back of a, essentially a restaurant's at the top, but it's like a big hotel.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, it's The Protector. It came out as The Warrior King in the United Kingdom. If you're listening in the UK, you might know it as The Warrior King, Protector in the United States. Thai Dragon in Spain. That's how they released that the movie. Thai Dragon in Spain.
I think I ordered takeout from there.
Revenge of the Warrior in Germany, because Germany loves revengeance. That makes no sense. It's a Thai film, Brian. It's starring Tony Jaa, directed by Pratya Pinkeo.
Does Thai Thai mean something in Thai? Because I used to order takeout from a place called Thai Thai Barbecue, and I was like, why are they?
I
is it
used
thai
to do
thai?
That with you. It was next to our work where we worked together.
That's right. It was right here, Thai Thai Barbecue.
Yeah.
And she answered the phone, Thai Thai Barbecue.
All right, that'll do.
That's exactly how she said
Remember
it.
I had a crush on that one girl over there.
That's right, you did.
Cat.
Oh my God, cat.
Cat.
And the big fish that was in the tank.
And we go over there, and it was like rolling dice because we'd order on the phone, and then we go over there, and either cat would give us our food
or the old hag.
So it was either like really hot cat who was really sweet and cute, or it was old hag woman who hated you, even though you were a paying customer.
And by the way, I probably ate there 4 nights a week.
And yeah, and you'd come in and you'd always report to me. Like, you'd come back and you'd be like, it was cat.
Old hag night.
It was cat. Or you'd be like, oh, old hag night. Oh, I miss that cat.
Forgot about cat.
Gotta go find cat.
This is the first time I thought about cat in 10 years.
It's been like 4 restaurants. All right, we're way off topic. I'm talking about The Protector.
Thai Thai.
It's in the same vein as Hard Boiled, where the amount of things being kicked, broken, smashed, and the poor art department that had to deal with it. It was so exhaustive, Brian, it was so physically exhausting and time-consuming that the crew could only do 2 takes per day, Brian. And the guy filming it, they had to be flown in from Thailand, and he spent a month preparing just so he could keep up with Tony Jaa as he punches his way through dozens of stuntmen. It's about 4 minutes, and it goes up about six stories as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And all the while, he's going up, and he's doing these really impressive Muay Thai moves and flying people onto the wall, through windows.
There's no wire work, is there?
No wire work, yeah. And very little CGI from what I researched. A couple windows were broken with CGI.
It seemed like a stuntman demo film.
Guy is tired as fuck by the time he gets to the top. There's no faking that. I mean, he is tired, that poor Tony Jaa, who is very impressive.
Right.
And all the while, he's throwing people like through railings, and you can see, and then the camera pans down. You can see like how far he's gone up. It's like a video game, but yeah, it's fucking real. It's
impressive.
One of the most impressive things I've ever seen. And I don't see them doing that here in America. I don't think that insurance could allow it because of all the crazy stunts that were done.
Okay.
And every time that they would like break through the railing, or there's this one scene where like the water fountain just gets smashed into like 100 pieces. Like that stuff was everywhere. And poor, they must have had a giant crew, cleanup crew, that just be like, as soon as they cut after 4 minutes, if they made it that high,
yeah,
I'm sure they had to stop numerous times. I read how many takes it took, but it took a number of days. And Logan, I'd like to tip my hat to you and say thank you very much for forcing me to look into that, because that's not a movie that I would normally.
Where the hell did I see this now? I'm trying to wonder.
Probably in your research?
Just no, it was a long time ago.
A long time ago.
This is a long time ago.
But for the most part, when you see a movie, like Man with Iron Fist most recently, when you see a lot of times Tarantino's name, they're exploiting you. But it's also Tarantino loves these kinds of movies,
yeah,
so he wants to get some distribution. But they know that people are going to think that Tarantino actually made this movie.
Had something to do with it.
Movie was usually, in most cases, it was done long before Tarantino even saw it, or whoever's name they put on top of it. Most recently, Mama. Guillermo del Toro's name was all over that thing. He saw a short that these people made, and he helped get them to make the movie. He had nothing to do with it. He wasn't on the set. He wasn't directing. He wasn't making decisions. He just helped them finance the movie.
So you're saying the rest of this film was not worth watching?
Oh, it's comically bad. It's amazing that this director could make such a great scene, such an interesting scene, and then make the rest of this movie. I mean, I don't know if you've ever, for those of you who've ever played Jet Set Radio, it's a great video game. There's scenes where it felt like it was straight out of Jet Set Radio, just guys on rollerblades. Rollerblades? Is that right? Yeah, rollerblades.
Just a radio us.
Flying through you. A lot of the time, Brian, I felt like I was wasting valuable time in my life. But I watched the whole thing.
Give the name again of the film?
It's called The Protector, The Warrior King, Thai Dragon, and or Revenge of the Warrior. It's also called Toy Thai, Muay Thai. What's it called? There's another name for it. Same guy that made Chocolate and Ong Bak.
Chocolat?
No, different. Oh. Different.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Chocolate. Coming up next.
The Protector.
The conclusion.
Music, Brian. Music. What?
Yeah.
It's what brings us all together.
Attention, music heads. Is that what they called them?
No, Brian, don't do that. Sure. No. Hey, guys, you know what? If you're not on a label yet, hey, come get some exposure with us.
Yeah, we'd love to have you or your band or your solo act be a part of our...
Maybe it's a rap group,
be a part of our little podcast here.
Perhaps it's a rap group.
Perhaps it is. That'd be awesome, a little rap group. But send along your songs, your info to Logan. What is it? Contact TFE?
There's a button right on AndersonandBrian.com.
Oh, that's right.
Featured artist.
AndersonandBrian.com. And you know what? You get on our show, and honestly, it gets into a lot of ear holes.
It does. People listen to it, and dozens of people hear this every week.
And you got to send it through Logan, though. A lot of you guys tweet me and you beg me to get your band on here, and it's got to go through Logan. I don't know what his criteria is. I'm not kidding here.
He's pretty discerning.
Logan, what are you looking for?
I'm pretty open to everything as long as it's not too out there and weird and works with a bumper. I very rarely say no to somebody.
Come on in, guys.
Yeah. Thanks again, Greater Pacific. They're our featured artists this week. Check them out, facebook.com/GreaterPacific or AndersonandBrian.com. And all of our featured artists are on there. So if you heard someone you liked this week or in weeks past, they're on there. Anderson.
Tom Yum Goong. That was the name of the original name of The Protector. Hey, Lokes, did you like The Protector? You can be honest.
When it first came out, I did. My dad and I used to love watching these kind of kung fu movies. So, but I rewatched it a few years ago and didn't like it as much.
Mm-hmm. So when you first saw that, were you like a 9-year-old kid?
Psst. I don't know about that young, but, you know.
A lot of controversy.
At least early high school.
A lot of controversy, too, in this movie. He's walking through, like, an airport or something when he first gets to Australia because he has to leave his homeland because some evil fucks stole his elephants.
Sure.
And somehow he somehow he figures out that his little baby elephant got taken to Australia. Still not sure exactly. I think they were going to eat the elephant, to be honest. I'm not kidding. I think that was the plan.
Yeah, because they were at a restaurant that serves endangered animals.
And it's an ugly stereotype. They ripped that off from The Freshman.
Uh-huh. So yeah, he goes and he's in the airport and he bumps into this guy and there's like a long like pause and he looks at the guy and the guy looks at him and he looks at the guy looks and it's Jackie Chan.
That's awesome. Actually, I kind of like that.
But here's where the controversy comes in. Not Jackie Chan. They got a Jackie Chan lookalike to play a cameo. Apparently.
No
one can confirm but or deny that it's Jackie Chan, but apparently it's not.
Why has anyone ever asked Jackie Chan, hey, did you appear in this movie?
I don't know. Because they're too busy talking about Rush Hour 5. But Jackie Chan is not actually listed in the title, in the credits or on IMDb.
Of course not.
And I've read more accounts that is, in fact, a lookalike. Bizarre, right? Odd.
If it was Jackie Chan, awesome. If it was a lookalike, somehow more awesome.
Even a little better?
Somehow more awesome.
Kind of random that you would get a cameo of a fake. Yeah,
I'm gonna. That's hilarious.
I want to do that.
What do you mean? How?
I don't know. Just have like a ton of cameos, but they're all like lookalikes.
They're all lookalikes.
No, never mind. That wouldn't work.
Okay.
Would it work? I could get Gilbert Gottfried to do Corolla.
I think he's more Norm MacDonald these days.
Mm.
Number two, for me. I forgot about this scene entirely. It must have been in the recesses of my mind because in researching the list. I actually didn't do any research. I was just compiling my list. And it came to me. I was like, oh, yeah, that is a long shot, isn't it? Went to YouTube, started to watch it. And, goddamn, it's a great shot. It's the only part about this movie that I really remember. Went back and watched it and really liked it.
Are we going to say the name of the movie?
The movie's The Player.
Mm-hmm.
It's Robert Altman's The Player. It's the opening scene.
How could you say, oh, yeah, that is a long shot, isn't it? When I mean it's so self-referential. The entire thing is constantly saying, look at me, I'm a long shot.
I didn't know if it was
involved. The dialogue within that long take is a producer talking about how he hates the new generation of MTV films. Yep. Cut.
Yep.
Twice he comes on the screen to say that.
Yeah, there's self-referential allusions to long shots in other movies. You're talking about the opening scene from A Touch of Evil.
I did it too.
Or Bertolucci's Tracking Shots.
Long takes.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they're talking about. I love the scene because there's a lot of comedy in it. There's
a lot of comedy.
Pitches. I honestly believe that this, at least today, this was whatever this was, 1992 through 2003. I think the pitches are actually more absurd today than they were in this film. People are pitching movies like The Graduate Part 2. She has a stroke or a malady.
This is in the long take he's talking about.
Yeah. The Tim Robbins character is taking his
development. He's a big-time producer.
He's
and
a development executive.
The camera
he's not rolls. A producer. He's a development executive.
Same thing. But he's going to get he would get producer credit on these movies. Yes. His name would flash on the screen before a movie as producer, Tim Robbins' character, whatever it is.
There you go.
It opens up. I should just tell you right now, it's also my number two. I love this thing.
Oh, nice.
Love it. It's like the ultimate.
It's a great scene.
And it's a satire of Hollywood's underbelly.
I think that everything they're satirizing has gotten crazier than it is in the film.
Could be. But, I mean, this is also in a time, and he's satirizing the 80s, I think, too. Because Robert Altman was very bitter, man. Well, bitter with the Hollywood system at this point. He had almost been run out of town. His movies, despite actors loved working for Altman, and they would do anything for him. I mean, he got Julianne Moore completely naked from the waist down.
Yeah.
In Shortcuts, just screaming and yelling at Matthew Modine. I mean, he got actors were dying to work with Robert Altman, but his movies would never get shown in like the big theaters. He had a huge falling out with the studio system. A lot of it goes back to Popeye, 1980 Popeye, Robin Williams' first theatrical
movie. One of the strangest. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen. I grew up
watching
that movie.
One of the strangest.
That whole set,
incomprehensible.
Riddled with drugs and booze. Everyone was doing every kind of drug imaginable. Robert Evans was one of the main producers on it. He had a huge falling out with everyone on the sets, including Altman and Robin Williams. Whoever was doing the music actually just took... Who was doing the music? I read about this.
Oh, it was I read about it too. It was someone famous. I'm sorry.
Everyone's talking about me.
Cat Stevens?
No. God damn it. Harry Nilsson.
Harry Nilsson.
Yeah. He walked off the set.
Ah, yes.
And for whatever reason, they had the music guy, which is odd. They wouldn't do that. Anyways, long story short, Robert Altman, he did not he did not like popular Hollywood at this point in his career, and he was on one of the Hollywood sets shooting the scene, which I love, doing a pretty ugly satire of the going-ons behind the scenes in Hollywood. And it stands up on its own. It stands up as a little short. I mean, it introduces you to all the characters that you're going to see in the movie, except for Vincent D'Onofrio.
Right.
And they had the kiss-ass sycophants, which I'm sure you saw and related to
him,
on the bike.
Yeah. He was a hardworking kid.
He kept thinking that he's like, oh, you Scorsese? I love Cape Fear. Loved it.
He's like, I love Harvey Keitel. I was like, I do too, but I'm not Martin Scorsese.
I'm not Martin Scorsese. But and then do you have the other pitch? That
other pitches are, yes, I do have them because they're so funny. I wrote them down. He gets pitched Out of Africa meets Pretty Woman. He gets pitched Ghost meets Manchurian Candidate. He's like, oh, I see. So it's a psychic political thriller comedy with a heart.
But something happens to the senator. He's like an evil senator, and it makes him clairvoyant.
That's right.
Clairvoyant, so he can read people's minds. And he's going up the ladder in Hollywood, reading all these people's minds, all these politicians' minds. He gets to the president. His mind's completely blank. Nothing in his mind.
That's right. Nothing.
I would see that movie.
That's funny.
That's a good
one. They talk about the women they want to cast. I can see Julia doing this. Maybe Dolly. Goldie would be great. They're talking about all those
stars. And the chicks there are going, Julia has a great relationship, so that would work perfect.
And you get the idea. This is how it is done. I mean, I've done a little bit of pitching in my day. Obviously not this level of big movie making, but it is done kind of like this. It's very sad. It's very cynical. And it is, ultimately, this scene is very funny, but there's also a very strong, sad undercurrent going through it.
8 minutes long. They did it 15 times. That's 15 takes.
15.
15. And Altman ended up using the third take.
Yeah.
So they did it how many times? 12 more times unnecessarily.
Unnecessarily.
And yes. And also Bruce Willis was mentioned in one of these pitches. I can't remember which one.
But, you know who was
going to have Bruce Willis in this one?
You know who the tour guide was? You know, I recognize his voice. I didn't check the credits, but I recognize his voice. Piven. Second time Piven comes up today.
No way.
Yeah, Jeremy Piven.
Was it Pivy?
It was. He was making some, not off-color, but ill-timed joke about Japanese and sushi and something like that. I love sashimi.
A lot of Robert Altman's stuff is hard to take for me. I'm not a giant fan of a lot of his. He has this naturalistic style where he doesn't really care how the camera
moves. I love
Shortcuts. Shortcuts is great, and I would actually put The Player above Shortcuts.
Really?
I like The Player a lot. It's very enjoyable. But yeah, if you have not seen that, and like I said, all these scenes are on YouTube, and this one is definitely one that stands up, like I said, on its own. It could be a little short. It was just masterfully done.
Yep.
Very well done. Funnier than the rest, and a little sloppy, like when the guy falls and then the camera moves over and he's like laying there and there's a bunch of mail everywhere. A little slapsticky.
Yeah.
But
dead to fill,
not as impressive as something as, like, say, The Protector, but and more enjoyable. That's why it's number 2 on my list.
Yeah. Funny. And sad.
All right. I don't know if it's sad.
Oh, my number one for me.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, shit.
You okay? You
don't I have wasn't one. Ready for this. I was like, oh, both number 2 together.
You should, when you do your research, you should do all the way up to 1.
Okay. If only you told me that before this episode. Mm-hmm. Number 1 for me is a tie.
A Thai film? Is it The Protector?
Thai Thai. No, it's Thai Thai Barbecue. Number 1 for me is a tie.
Cat or Old Hag?
Oh, my God. It's Old Hag Night. Number 1 for me is a tie.
What if Old Hag is a listener of this show?
I can't think of anything less likely.
Okay.
First of all, she wouldn't know. Well, she knows now.
All right. She's proud of my Protector.
2 scenes.
She's very happy about
that's
the Protector.
That's right, she is.
List.
2 scenes from the same movie. You know it's P.T. Anderson.
Oh, no, I didn't know
And it
know
is
that.
Actually the first scene that I thought of when you mentioned it last week, the pool party scene, which came up earlier, the pool party scene in Boogie Nights, and also the New Year's Eve party. In Boogie Nights, the New Year's Eve 1979 to 1980 New Year's Eve party.
The entrance and exit?
Yes.
Oh, it's a hard scene. Now, careful with that one in case some of our
I thought about
that.
Number 1, you're very brazen about spoilers. Number 2,
except Pitch Perfect. Spoil the fuck out of that thing.
That's what I mean. You're very brazen about giving away spoilers this week. I will give away I will say spoiler alert.
Yeah, we should do that because it's a great movie.
It's a great movie, but
it's a great movie.
It's right in the middle of the movie, and it's not exactly like giving away anything at the end. A character dies.
Someone's shot.
A character dies?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great lead-up to how the character dies and what happens in the circumstance, what leads to his death. And then also the pool party scene that Anderson alluded to earlier, you learn so much about the characters in the movie Boogie Nights. It's a pool party, a drug and porn pool party at Kurt, Jack Horner's house.
Luis Guzman trying to get in the business.
Like, put it a good word for me.
And then it goes into the pool, and it's a direct homage to I Am Kuva.
Yep.
I Am Kuva. You know something? The opening scene could actually trump both of those, I think.
What's the opening scene?
Boogie Nights.
A Boogie Nights?
Oh, it's great. It opens up on the marquee, which says Boogie Nights. Yeah. And it's the old Reseda Theater, which is actually not far from my house, so okay. I pass this place all the time. And then the camera kind of spins. It's obviously on a crane. It spins. It goes up the Reseda sign, and then it comes, follows
the
car
down.
Oh,
yeah. He's working inside.
And then I've watched this thing 9 or 10 times, and I cannot figure out. It must have been a guy on a crane, on a car, with a Steadicam, and then he seamlessly somehow gets off the car at some point and goes inside the club. This is the opening scene. And it goes on for a good 3.5-4 minutes and goes around the dance floor and Don Cheadle's character and everyone. It's fucking amazing. He opens up strong.
I was thinking about this movie in context of P.T. Anderson's career, Boogie Nights, Paul Thomas Anderson, and it is a fucking virtuoso performance from a filmmaking standpoint. He's made some great movies since, movies that I love, movies that you love, but this is such a perfect movie, i.e. cannot be improved upon, I don't think in any way.
Let me tell you something.
Do it at his age, like to be a masterwork.
I saw it. Well, you know what's funny too is he was Robert Altman's like right hand man, and Altman had been suffering some heart attack, heart failures, issues. Well, maybe I think he died of leukemia ultimately, but he wasn't that healthy. And some of his last films, I believe it was Gosford Park or maybe one of the other ones. Paul Thomas Anderson was actually the insurance company deemed that they have a second director standing by in case he keeled over, and it was PTA. So he learned from Robert Altman, but their movies couldn't be more different in many ways, but there's also a lot of similar threads there. I love this movie. I love Boogie Nights. I've cited it numerous times. It's come up on the show numerous times. I've never said anything ill about it. Went on an old Fuckflix to see what Fuckflix was, because I wanted to see if it was streaming, because I need to watch it again.
Sure. I own it. You can borrow from it.
I need to do that. I would like that. I want to see Fuckflix, what they would think of it for, what they would guess I would like it out of 5.
Yeah.
4.9.
That's amazing.
That
is. That's
the only thing that's ever ranked
higher
from Fuckflix is The Wire, and they guessed a 5.
You know,
on season 3 of The Wire.
I was just thinking about that today.
And they were goddamn right.
I've never had Netflix guess a movie higher than, like, I don't know if they ever guessed over 4.
And I've rated like 600 and some odd movies. So they know me pretty good.
Wow.
That's impressive.
4.9. 4.9.
But then there's these things where you can alter movies though, and it'll change the rating for me.
Yeah,
I took out the shot of Dirk Diggler's dick at the end, and it dropped it down to a 3.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
Thought I was like a 3.5, shaved off 1.4 points.
Nice.
Number one for me, Brian. This is the most impressive long shot, long take. God damn it, I've done it 9 times on this episode.
That's all right. We'll do a long.
The most impressive. It doesn't make sense though.
Okay.
It's a shot that's long.
Extended take.
It's the best long take. It's not that far removed from present, 2007. Mm-hmm. It's a movie I did not like. I don't really remember much of it, except for this. When I saw this scene in the theater, I thought,
"Oh, Avatar."
Close. It's with an A.
Is it really? Oh.
With an A. Atonement.
Oh, I never saw Atonement.
Joe Wright's Atonement.
I avoided
2007.
This. It looked depressing.
The Beach at Dunkirk. Okay, now this is starring, what's her name? Keira Knightley. And James McAvoy. Mm. James McAvoy's with a couple other of his, I believe it's World War One. A couple other of his army buddies, and they're like lost, and they're in the middle of nowhere. They haven't seen anyone in a long time. They're lost, and they're trying to figure out where to go. They stumble across this beach where everything is going on. There are elements, Brian, of gunshots, animal cues, which involve horses being shot in the head and falling dead on demand as though they're trained dogs. Pyrotechnics galore left and right. There are vehicles. There's special effects and musical numbers occurring with a choir. There's an amazing shot in the distance of a Ferris wheel.
Wow.
And the thing goes on 4.5-5 minutes. And ultimately, you see the full beach, because it starts with just the 3 soldiers and the steady cam guy, the poor fucker. It's because it's all on sand, too. So the guy's walking on sand.
It's almost
on the
more
beach.
Difficult.
And you're seeing all these things up close. And, you know, you see the horses being put down. And you see these other atrocities happening. And one guy's going around and he's banging the car's engines and making steam come out. All these things have to be, the timing has to be perfect. And then ultimately you see it from like a little pier. And you're up and you're looking down on this full beach. And you see like the, I don't know, I want to say 200 extras doing their thing, all doing it perfectly to a T. Now, there is some CGI in here. It's hard to tell what's what. It all looks seamless on my little screen, and I remember it's looking seamless on the big screen, too. I remember feeling, like I do with many movies, Cheated sitting there in the theater because it wasn't really resonating with me. And then the scene came on, and I said, I would have paid $40 to see this.
Wow.
This, it's available on YouTube. I wanted to suggest you watch
the whole
movie.
How far into the movie does it
I'd say it's about halfway through. And it also has an effect on you because I think that, if I recall, in the movie, you're kind of by yourself with these guys in the woods and kind of lost. You don't see anything for a long time. And there's long periods where there's very little going on in this movie. This is Joe Wright. He's the same guy.
Did it lull you to sleep and then kind of shake you awake?
A little bit. He did Pride and Prejudice in 2005. He also did The Soloist. And most recently he did Hannah and Anna Karenina. Karenina.
Did Hannah the movie Hannah?
He did Hannah. Yeah, Joe Wright. Wow. Not to be confused with Edgar Wright.
That's a very diverse list of films.
Yeah,
Hannah's a very different film than the other ones.
So there you go. Atonement. It was the first one that popped up in my head, and I was looking for other ones to knock it off the list, but after watching all of these things numerous times, Atonement still.
Wow.
And I watched it with the wife, and she tried to talk it down today. She was like mocking. It's just phenomenal. Look at it. It's just amazing.
Isn't that nice?
And I looked at it, and I'm like, it really is, though, isn't it? And she was like, yeah, it's pretty great.
Nice.
Bitch. Oh, I love you, honey. I'm just kidding. She doesn't listen at all, bitch. She doesn't listen to this
But
one.
If she did,
I love you, sweetie. You're a good lady. Married life's good, by the way, Brian.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, buddy.
So far,
Spelled
so good.
You out a little bit.
Yeah, 5 months in. Yeah. Not bad.
5 months in, you're not ready to bail yet?
Let's hear the listeners list.
Yeah, top five.
Number five.
I bet the Protector's on there. All right, here we go.
If you'd like to vote, by the way, in the future, facebook.com/thefilmvault or at thefilmvault on Twitter.
I usually ask for the listener top five like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
So
follow that shit.
Number five, Atonement.
Oh,
wow.
Love my listeners.
How about that?
Number four, the opening scene of Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Ooh,
the opening scene.
Bri, you own this.
They're all over you, man.
Number three, the hammer fight scene in Old Boy.
Yes. I should have, could have, would have had this on my scene if Old Boy doesn't get such love every week. I feel like I am Brian and Old Boy is Corolla.
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
I'm sorry.
I would have thought Transformers or Transformers 3.
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
I suckle old boys, what I'm saying. Yes.
The opening scene of Goodfellas.
Opening scene.
Or, I'm sorry, the cabana scene of Goodfellas.
The Copacabana
scene. Copacabana scene of Goodfellas. And the number one long take, as voted on by our listeners, is the car chase scene of Children of Men.
Oh, look at that.
Wow.
Not the end scene.
The car chase scene.
The end scene,
wow.
To me.
They are in sync with you, buddy.
Is more impressive. And it would have been on there had
number
I not
one.
Just had it on last week.
They are in sync with you.
But that car chase scene is pretty fucking incredible as well.
On my top five list of funniest musical moments, I think I had the song that Justin Timberlake sang from Southland Tales. That is in one take, and had I not named it to another list, I certainly would have put it on this
one. That's a good one. That is a good one. On my list, I also have, of course, Touch of Evil. We can't go this entire episode without at least saying Rope. We cannot say Rope. That entire movie was done. Hitchcock made it to appear as though it was a long take. And you know what? That guy, if he lived today and he had the digital world on his side, he would have. The only
things.
Reason why he didn't make that entire movie in one take is because they didn't have the film magazines to be able to do it.
I say tape, and I mean film.
And there are a couple movies, and actually two of them are at the top of my queue, Brian, that are, there are some a number of one take movies out there, actually. I met, long story, but I bought a Wii on Craigslist a number of years ago, and the guy that I bought it from, it was one of those uncomfortable Craigslist exchange.
Sure.
Instead of having it packed up by the door ready to go, he actually had it out and he's playing it. And he wanted to play me for a while because like he was going to miss it. Yeah, so I had to play some ping pong or tennis with him. And in doing so, he told me that he's a director and a writer and he makes his own movies. And he actually gave me his movie.
Is it Joey Shanks?
No. And it's a one take. He I guess he's made two or three movies all one take.
Wow.
That being said, it still sits on my
desk.
The
early days of Vine.
What's that?
The early days of Vine.
Vine is so good. No, but there's plenty of takes on Vine, plenty of cuts.
I know,
check
but
out
what
Vine.
I'm saying.
Check out Vine. Check out Logan and I on Vine. It's good stuff. But I have not opened that movie, but there are a couple others that I researched just recently and read about, and I will be flick-fessing both of those next week, probably.
Let's hear them. Oh,
next week. Next week.
I like it.
Two one-cut movies. One-take movies, right? Next week.
Let's get our gamble on.
Russian Ark.
Logan, what are we paying off from last week?
Last week, you guys gambled on The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Ooh.
At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 44%, Anderson bid 36%, and Brian 66%.
You might nail it. It was 38 last I checked.
Mm-hmm. As Brian said, currently the Wednesday after release, the Rotten Tomatoes score is 38%. I don't like Brian knowing the Rotten Tomatoes score ahead of time.
It
kind of
sketchy,
it spoils
right?
the
Well, here's the
reveal.
I have to know it I have to know it for the Corolla thing.
For that other small podcast you do.
I don't remember what we guessed.
You plug in the film vault over there. Go in there and say you might know.
Why do you need another Rotten Tomatoes score for that?
Yeah, why
shouldn't you be doing your own reviews?
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's germane to the. I mentioned it in
Germaine
the reviews.
Germane from Flight of the Conchords. He's in that.
Germane and Brent. Britt.
Germaine's in that.
Mm-hmm. Germaine and Britt.
Listen, why is it germane to your research?
Well, because
you like to talk about
we have Matt Achety on from Rotten Tomatoes often, mm-hmm. and Adam seems to like the Rotten Tomatoes score just to know what the critics are saying.
All right.
Okay. Well, I'm going to know what it is. I don't know what it is ahead of time.
It makes me a little nervous because right above that is the scores of the movies that we will be, if you're looking on your phone anyways, right above that
not
is
looking
the
on
movies
phone.
That we're going to be.
I'm not looking at my phone.
By the way, that made Anderson the winner. Got off by 2%.
Ultimately, Anderson almost nailed it. Mm-hmm. All right, what do we got this week?
All right, this week you're going to be gambling on Spring Breakers.
Ooh.
Spring Breakers? Mm-hmm. Isn't Olympus Has Fallen coming out this week?
Choosing and picking apart his picks.
No, I just thought that it
he
was.
He can pick.
I wanted to choose the most.
Spring Breakers is already in theaters. I thought
no,
the most
Friday.
Unpredictable ones, because also the Croods comes out this weekend. But you know, animated movies always tend to get high reviews.
He's stuttering, he's stammering.
I got
you
bad
made
news. I think I already know what the score is for Spring Breakers.
Oh, right. Of course you do, because you're
it's
looking
in theaters.
At Brian,
I don't look.
No, it
at
comes
the,
out this Friday.
As the listener listens to this on Friday when this episode is released in
all
2 days,
you guys can gamble on Admission, the Tina Fey, Paul Rudd movie.
Oh fuck yeah!
I thought Doug Benson like tweeting that he bought a ticket for Spring Breakers.
You can buy in advance. And you might have to with this one because there's a bunch of horn dogs out there. Can't wait to see Selena Gomez doing bad things.
I don't know about that. All right, Admission.
Trash Humpers 2.
This looks terrible. Admission.
They're calling it Trash Humpers 2.
Interesting.
That would be pretty sweet. The kid made Trash Humpers? Old Tim Conway Jr. I was so happy. All right. I got my score.
What's your score?
47.
33.
Ooh. 33%. I don't like not winning. It feels good to be back on top.
All right. Currently, the Wednesday before release with 28 reviews. Ooh. Admission's Rotten Tomatoes score is 39%.
Okay, you got 33. We're right in the middle.
Very
right in
the middle.
Close
there. To the
very
middle.
Close. So it's got to go up a little bit.
I'm off by 6.
Uh-huh.
It's very God close. Damn, this is anyone's game.
It's got to go up.
That's anyone's game.
God damn it. Motherfucker.
All right, what do I have to watch?
You know what? I'm in a giving mood, Brian.
Oh.
How about you watch a little Pitch Perfect so you can see those strange oddities that occurred? Usually I like things that take a left turn in movies, but
should
this
I
just
watch?
Didn't make any sense.
Should I watch it with the wife?
It's a movie about a cappella, and they win the tournament.
I have a feeling Brian might end up loving this movie.
I might. Mm-hmm. Should I watch this with my wife?
Yeah, do. Go ahead. No. My wife is smart enough to... She was actually apologizing throughout, saying, I'm sorry, honey. I
don't appreciate you. And
thought this was
going to
be a good...
My wife's not smart.
I felt like I did that. I didn't try to.
You
it
did.
A
you absolutely did.
All right, you know what? I'm taking it back. You know what you have to watch this week? Trash Humpers.
All right. Pitch Perfect it is.
Trash Humpers.
It's already locked in, buddy. I'm sorry. Bitch Perfect. Hey, thanks, you guys. Thanks to Greater Pacific.
Bitch Perfect.
Bitch Perfect, if you know what I'm saying, right?
You going to watch it with your wife, then? Is that what you're saying?
She's the perfect bitch.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
That's right.
Okay.
Thanks again, Greater Pacific, for being our featured artist of the week. Like I said, Incandescent is the name of their album. And heck yeah, check them out, AndersonBryan.com. AndersonBryan.com. Yeah. People love, you know what people are loving in our comments section? They're loving Anderson's egregious error of the week. He didn't make any egregious errors this week.
That we
you?
Know of. I may have.
I may have.
Who knows?
Guys, by all means, post them in the comments section of AndersonAndBryan.com. We all love them.
I would like to tell you guys that I try not to make egregious errors. Mm-hmm. What the problem is quantity sometimes. I mean, we do cover a lot of fucking movies on here. And, you know, I know there's other podcasts out there that talk about films, and usually they limit it to, like, just a couple.
It's true. They dissect a film or a couple films.
And we reach far.
We spread it thin.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know.
Cast a wide net.
I don't know if there's that many movies out there that deserve a full hour of two knuckleheads talking about them. You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
I don't like the term knuckleheads. I like to go on record and say I have no idea why I said that.
I like it when they do it in reverse, like when they do on How Did This Get Made? They rip apart a bad movie.
We
they get
should
a good
not
album.
Be plugging other movies.
Why?
Podcasts.
We have Paul on our show.
Yeah, but he's not on here right now, so good. We don't have to.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
Good podcast. AndersonBryan.com is where you go to comment on the episode. You click through it. You do the old Amazon banner thing. We appreciate you guys' continued support. Oh, there's a list of every film we've talked about in our honorable mentions. right there at the top. How to Become a Feature Artist. You can find that out there, too. And, yeah, what else is there to say? I told you guys how to vote on the Feature Artist, or excuse me, on the Listener Top 5, so we got that out of the way. Anderson?
I know I probably shouldn't answer emails on this program, and that's not really what this program is for, but I'm terrible at responding to emails because I don't know how to get into my goddamn email. I can read them, but I can't fucking respond to them. I'm not lying, but there's a kid who wanted to know something controversial you should talk about. Bullying in today's society. That's what I would suggest. If it's not too late, bullying in today's
society. Are you really
and then also,
to someone's
somebody
email?
Wanted to know why I like Stanley Kubrick. I can't explain it. And really? What do I like about Stanley Kubrick? Watch Clockwork Orange. It's perfect symmetry. That movie is the most perfect symmetrical film you'll ever see.
Also, I got some spam
starts
from Free Credit Report, so I'm going to go ahead and delete that.
Yeah, should I just start reading my spam
emails?
Yes, really
should.
We do it for Van Gogh! Golden sunset am I still nothing to you? An even movement seems